2 Chronicles chapter 15, the 15th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles. And I want to preach on one of these kings this morning, make an application to our hearts and lives, and let you go. Amen. Now, I look at the scenarios that we can have here just for a minute. I don't really like that word, but it impresses people. Amen. I got a word. Scenarios. All right. There are some folks that have never had the privilege of hearing the gospel, never been taken to church. They'll be raised that way and go all the way through life and die without God, never knowing what it is to have a heritage like you and me. Then there's some people that have been raised in the church all their life. You got this now. They've been raised at the house of God. They've been under the preaching. They get saved at a young age. They live for God and die and go to heaven knowing what it is. They've been washed in the blood. Then there's a crowd that's come to the church, got saved or got in the church, got born again, and then drifted away from God, went back to the world, and died a miserable life. And then there's another crowd, hear me now, that have been raised without the church and come a long way in their life, and then in the older years got in church, got saved, and just saved so as the skin of their teeth. The Bible said so as by fire. Amen. I don't know where you fit in, but I'll tell you what. You look at this application of what we're going to preach on this morning, it ought to help you. None of us are out of the woods if we're not out of this world yet. Amen. Responsibility is there. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1. Stand, let's read together. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1. And the Spirit of God. Oh, I didn't know the Spirit of God's in the Old Testament, preacher. Oh, yes, it was. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa. We're going to talk about Asa just a little while. And said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, while ye be with Him. Notice what he said. The Lord is with you, comma, read with me, while ye be with me. And if you seek me, comma, He will be found of you. Look at the next phrase. But if ye forsake Him, comma, read with me, He will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and, notice this phrase, and saw Him, He was found of them. And in those days there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city. For God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak. For your work shall be rewarded. You can be seated. Father, as we bow in your presence this morning, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God and for the promises we find in its perfect pages. I pray, dear God, that you might help us to preach, anoint our lips to speak, our minds to comprehend, and our hearts to receive the truth of the living God. I pray this morning, Lord, that you'll lay a live coal off the altar of God upon our tongue And we'll preach as we wish we had when we stand in your eternal judgment. God will give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to accomplish in our heart and life this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I want to talk about Asa for just a little bit. And we want to talk about some things about him. To find out about who he is, we're going to have to back up a little bit in the chapter 14, previous to this one we read. And we're going to use the scriptures this morning and just take a little exposition from the Word of God. I didn't say an expedition, an exposition. Amen. We're going to expose the Word of God. Verse 1 of chapter 14. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And where is the city of David? Amen. Huh? All right, Bethlehem. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. Now notice something about Asa when he took over. Verse number 2, God has got a report. Here's God's report card of this man. Verse 2 said, and Asa did that which was, say it, good and right in the eyes of the world. Oh, did I miss it? And Asa did that. Let's read it again, see what it said. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. It don't make no difference where it's all right in the eyes of the world, does it? Long as it's all right in the eyes of God. Now that's what Asa done. We'll find a little bit about him here. Now notice some things that he began to do. If you're going to do what's right, and you're going to do what's good, there will be some things in your life that you will have to do. Amen. And if the proof, as the old saying is, the proof's in the pudding. Amen. It may look good, but the proof is when you put it in your mouth and find out about the pudding. Amen. Now, the Word of God. We say we've got God, but if we say we've got God and do nothing about it, and our life is not changed, the world says you don't have God. Verse 3 said, for he took away the altars of the strange gods. In that day they had those strange gods, and they worshipped, and they bowed, and they sacrificed at them altars. The first thing that he did was he took away them altars. And he throwed out the strange gods. Then he said, and the high places, that's the special places that they had, that they would go out and worship and break down the images and cut down the groves. He was a righteous man. He was godly. He was doing what was right and he was doing what was good. And he stayed away from the idols of the world. And he left all that alone. And when he did, brother, we begin to cause some things, I'm sure, in the hearts and lives of people. But God said that about him. Amen. This is God reporting. Verse number 4. And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of the fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Here he's got two things. First of all, he began to tell the people to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. What does the New Testament say? Seek the Lord while he may be found. There's going to come a time when you can't find him. Amen. If you waste your life. Now listen to me. We're looking here. He said, he talked to the people. He said, I want you to seek the Lord. Look for him. Try to find him. Now ladies and gentlemen, I say the same thing to you. If you don't have God, try to find him this morning. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek him. Try to find him. He said, what's wrong? We're not seekers. You better be seekers. Brother, you better find the Lord. Amen. You said, I'll let the Lord find me. Amen. Amen. Well, I want you to know, thank God, he's trying to find you now. He's already got where you're at. Knocking on your door. You better answer the door. He's already been around. Amen. So you better try to find him. Now, in verse 4 it said, and he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers. And the second thing he said, and to do the law and the commandments. What he said, I want you first of all to seek God. Number 2, I want you to obey the Word of God. That's the challenge we've got to every man and woman, boy and girl in this building this morning. Seek the Lord. Obey the Word of God. It don't make no difference what anybody else thinks about it down the road, what your neighbors say about you, what they talk about on the job about you and say about you. But I say to you, seek the Lord and obey the Word of God. That's the two things that I would command you from the Word of God to do this morning, as Asa did. I want you to seek the Lord and obey His Word. Amen. Can't go wrong with that, can you? Amen. Praise God. Preacher, you're doing right, all right. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Now, thank you for the vote of confidence. Amen. Now, let's go to verse number 5 and see what it said. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was, notice that word, what? Quiet before him. Amen. Do you want to have a peaceful land? Do you want to have a peaceful country? Let me tell you, America started off good. Brother, she's ended up wrong. And we're going to talk about a man this morning, Asa. He started off good, and he ended up wrong. And any person that lives a life like Asa did, that finds himself doing the things Asa did in the later days of his life, is going to end up wrong. In a nation that starts off right and does the things that this nation's done, will end up wrong. And any person, we can get that down to where you live, any person that starts off right and turns around and walks away from God is going to end up wrong. Amen. You can live 50 years for God and tear down what you've built in 50 years in a 15-minute span of your life and die a shameful death. God help us. Now notice some things here. And I want to just look at some things from the Word of God. This is a good story of a man. Notice what he said in verse number 6. Now God's given his report card of him. God is describing him. I'm not describing him. God's describing him. In verse number 6, and he built fenced cities in Judah. In other words, he began to protect the people. They're in peace. There's quietness. There's no wars. We'll prove that and show it to you in a minute. There's no quarrels. Amen. Among the people. Did you know when the church gets to fighting against themselves and among themselves, brother, there's no peace in the land? Did you know when people can't get along? Did you know when a church can't get along? Did you know when people inside the church, as individuals, can't get along? Brother, there's havoc in the land. Amen. That's why it's important that of all of us stay in one mind and one accord. Never get wrong with anybody in this building. Hey, get to the place. Don't let the devil rob you. I hadn't heard no reports. Amen. Maybe it's mingling in the shadows somewhere. But I hadn't heard no reports. But don't let nothing get a hold of you that would hinder you from serving God and being able to have fellowship one with another. Amen. Guard what we have at this church. Amen. When churches have wars and squabbles and fights among themselves, look, I want the place here where it said there's quiet. I want to be quiet down at the house of God. Now, that don't mean I don't want you to shout. That don't mean I don't want you to say amen. That don't mean I don't want you to wave your hand and holler hallelujah. Help yourself. Amen. I didn't get to that place. I'm talking about we're not fighting. Amen. Praise God. If you got a fighting bone in you, hang it on the wall when you get home. Amen. Don't bring it to church. Amen. You can go home and fight with your wife or fight with your husband. Don't come down here and fight with the church folks. Amen. That's right. And maybe just get right and quit going home and fighting with a wife and a husband. Amen. After you've been living 47 years with one another, like me and my wife have, we kind of get tired of them fightings anyhow. I'm tired of all them battles. Amen. I know what the Scripture means when it says, he that endureth, we are to endure the hardness as a good soldier. I've been a good soldier. I've endured for 47 years of marriage. And she's a good soldier too. She's endured. Amen. You understand that? But I'm looking at the Word of God here. Verse number 7. It said, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls. Amen. I don't think I read all verse 6. And he built, go back to verse 6, and he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him, what's that next word? Rest. We got quiet in verse 5. We got rest in verse 6. Verse 7 said, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought Him, and He hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. So they got quiet in verse 5, rest in verse 6, and rest in verse 7. And Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. Now, let me look at something and show you something here, brother, that our country is going wrong in one little area, going wrong in a lot of areas. But here's one I just want to point it out. I'm not a politician. I'm a preacher. But I preach the Word of God, and sometimes it affects the politicians. Amen. I'm not into politics. You know what it is? We've talked about that word poly. Means many. Ticks are blood suckers. I'm not a politician. Amen. Understand? But I'm looking at this. And so look at, do you know our national defense is being cut in the United States of America? This land here was in perfect peace. They had rest. It was quiet. They were not having battles. They were not fighting. And one of the things that King Asa done is tore down the idols, tore down the groves, got the people to seek the face of God. And then on the other hand, he began to put up fenced cities and build some places of protection. And then he began to get the army and get the army up there and build the army. That's where America ought to be today. She ought to take care of her defense instead of cutting it down. Well, we ain't got war. What's going to happen when you have war? They got nothing to take care of war for. Now, I want to show you something about King Asa. Looking at him in chapter 14. I'm not going to read all these verses, but in verse 9 down through verse 15. The Bible said the Ethiopians in verse 9 came up against him. And they had a host of 1,000,000. That's a lot of folks. And the Bible said, and there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. Now, here they are. Now, look at verse 10. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Maresha. Now, here it is. I want you to see, here's a battle. It's been quiet for a long time. No war. Nothing going on. Now, Asa, he's following God. He's got the people to seek the Lord. What else has he got them to do? Follow the Word of God. Two things. Seek the Lord and obey the Scriptures. Amen? Now, that's what this country ought to be doing. Seeking the Lord and obeying the Word of God. Amen. Building its defense cities and building up its forces. That's where God wants a nation. Amen. It'll be blessed every time. But that's not all the resources. Look in verse number 11. Here's the key. And Asa, what did it say? Cried unto the Lord. Asa cried unto the Lord. We as God's people need to cry unto the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. Asa said, hey, Lord, this is your battle. He's very much doing what David done. You coming down here to Goliath, he says, in the name of man, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord. Asa's saying, God is on my side. I want you, Lord, to take this battle. Now notice what happened. We will read these. Then verse number 12. So the Lord. You see that? So the Lord. This is important. So the Lord what? Smote. That means He killed him. He took him out. The Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. And the Ethiopians done what? Fled. They run away. The Bible said, and Asa and the people that were with him pursued them under Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before His host, and they carried away very much spoil. I want you to know the people of God came out of that thing victorious. Amen. And the Bible said in verse 14, and they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil. And listen, they got rid of them, destroyed them, and took everything they had. Amen. And the battle was not very hard. Why? Because they had sought God, obeyed the Word, and cried unto God. Now we've added something else to our life and our church and to what we're to do. Number one, we're to what? We're to seek the Lord. Amen? And how we're to seek the Lord? With all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. We're going to read that in just a minute. Now, number two, we're to obey the Word of God. And number three, we're to cry unto God. It means we're to pray. We're to work with the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Live by the Word of God. Be willing to die for the Word of God. Amen. We're to seek the Lord. We got God number one in our life. Now that's why Asa had a good time. So we turn over into chapter 15 in our text. And now we find in something here. The Bible talks about this, the Spirit of God. When did the Spirit of God come upon them? After they had sought the Lord, found the Lord, obeyed the Word, and cried out to the Lord. Then the Spirit of God. Listen, you know why our churches are failing this morning? The Spirit of God's not there because we hadn't seeking the Lord, obeying the Word of God, and crying out to God. Therefore, our churches are dead and dull and dry, and men and women are going to hell, and our services are no good. That's why we're not having revival in this land. And who's suffering? The world out yonder is in sin. We don't have the bright light to shine. I'm not preaching what Dennis Dills thinks. I'm preaching what the Word of God says. Amen. Amen. Now we find that God's blessed them. And God had blessed them. And that the Bible said in verse number 3 of chapter 15, it had been a long time since Israel had been with God. Said it hath been without the true God for a long season, it said here. And no teaching priest. They were without that. And without the law. They didn't have nobody teaching the Word of God. And they laid the Word of God down. There was idols and idolatry and false worship and false religions in the land all over them. And now they've come back to God. God's took care of them. Now I want you to notice down in verse number 5, it said, in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. We done read that God had given rest. God had given quiet. And God had given peace in the land simply because they'd done the order. And I believe America. I believe an individual. I believe a church that will do the same order that Asa did here will have the same results. I don't believe God will change it. It's the same today. Now, when this prophet came, and when the prophet or the man of God comes, you've got a choice. You can either refuse what he says, or you can accept what he says. I want to prove something from Asa here just a minute. I'm just looking at a story of the Bible. I'm giving you a Bible story today. Just a little Bible story. Amen. Sometimes you give the kids a little bedtime story. I'm giving you a Bible story. I'm just giving you a word for word what God's saying to a man called Asa and about him. Now Asa has now had a visit by a prophet. His name is Azariah. Now he's not well known. We don't know too much about Azariah. But he's come down to Asa and he's begun to talk to Asa. And Asa can do one of two things. He can say, Azariah, get out of here. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Or he can just let him go on his way and pay him no attention. But in this case, we find that he got to Asa. Now the preacher can preach to you, you can do one of two things. You can say, all right, I'll take that, I'll accept it, and God said it, and I'm going to get down the altar and do something about that. Or you can do like you always do, you can go back out the door and have me for lunch. And said, well, now you just preach that, that's your idea. I don't have to do what you tell me to do. No, you don't. Amen. I'm not your authority. I'm just a man that God sends the mail by. Amen. And by the way, chewing me up for lunch is about like getting down at the table and chewing a postman up because they sent you a bill. I'm just the delivery boy. All I've done is delivering the mail. I don't know what you need. God does. Amen. I kind of like it after being married 47 years. My wife, she never asked me this. What do you want for supper? She didn't ask me that because I knowed what it was. It's beans and taters. That's all we had. And she knowed she didn't have no choice. Garden seasons, it was beans and tomatoes and soup. And I fed my boys vegetable soup. We was talking about that yesterday. I fed my boys vegetable soup, and they didn't like a lot of things in the soup, and they picked it out and threw it aside. I don't imagine they won't even eat vegetable soup today. But that's all they had, is eat it or starve. Amen. And so we have that. And so I give you what God says. And it may not be what you want, but that's what God wants you to have. Amen. Now, looking here in verse number 8. Asa done something. Let's see what he said in chapter 15. He said, "Preacher, we're going to look at chapter 14, 15. No, we're going to look at chapter 16 too, just for you folks that's already done had too much. I'm going to torture you. The rest of you that's enjoying it, you're going to enjoy with me for the rest of the way. All right? Amen. I'm just bracing you folks this morning that already bored by it. Verse 8. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin. Guess what he done? He got right. He listened to the man of God and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from the Mount Ephraim and renewed. In other words, he built them back up. The altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. He gave it another fresh coat of paint if they painted it that day. Amen. He cleaned it up and got it ready. Amen. I mean, he said, here we are. Amen. We did that some months ago. We got some new altars up here. Amen. We renewed them. Amen. Some of y'all ain't renewed with them, but they're here for you. Amen. Just thought I'd come in the back way. Verse 9. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. They began to see that Asa was right. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same thing, or same time, of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord of their fathers with what? All their heart and with all their soul. Is that not what the New Testament says? I'll tell you right now, I've been studying the Bible for a long time, and I found out the new and the old do not contradict one another. Amen. If God says it in the Old Testament, it's going to be just as good in the new. God said it in the New Testament, you're going to find it in the Old. Now that was a sour note for some of you. Amen. Some of you maybe, you said I'm a New Testament saint. I know some people call themselves New Testament saints. Oh, preacher, we're New Testament. This is the New Testament. Amen. Some of y'all may be that way. Y'all some New Testament, you don't even like to look at the Old Testament. That's why you don't know much about the Old Testament. But I'm not a New Testament preacher. I'm a Bible preacher. I preach probably as much or more out of the Old Testament I do the New. Amen. Sometimes I get hung on the New and stay there for a long time and don't get in the Old. And then sometimes I stay in the Old and can't get out of the Old. Amen. But I'll guarantee there's not a sermon that goes Bible when I don't mention the Old and the New together somewhere. All right. And he said, and this is what they did. Now, we want to look at it. Here's some things that they had. In chapter 15, they had God's presence. Amen. God was with them. And God's presence was conditional. He don't just come in. You have to meet the qualifications. Amen. Because it said in verse number 2, if you forsake Him, what will He do? He'll forsake you. He said, if you look for Him, you'll find Him. He said, and if you seek Him, He will be found. Verse 2. Amen. The qualifications are there. Verse number 8, we find that Asa's putting away sin and getting rid of idols. That's one of the things you've got to do in your life if you're going to live the life that God wants you to live. You're going to have to put away some sin that's in your life. Oh, you said, preacher, I got some sins. Yeah, Lord, forgive me. And then tomorrow you're going to get up, and I meet you this somebody already this morning. You get up tomorrow and you go back and do them again. And when you say, Lord, forgive me today, you know good and well you're going to go do them again tomorrow. Amen. Does God touch you? That's the reason your life is just like it was before you prayed the first time. God knows if you're serious. God is only looking for true repentance. What's true repentance? Turning, not only being sorry for your sin, but turning from that sin and getting rid of that sin. And if you've got some old habit in your life, yeah, sure, you ought to get down and say, God, forgive me that old habit. Amen. But don't go back and do that habit, or that's not real repentance. Real repentance said that's against God, that aggravates God, that upsets God, it's loathsome to God, it's an abomination to God. I'm going to get rid of it. If God don't like it, I don't like it either. That's real repentance. And God will forgive you for it. Now, then the second thing they did is they started making sacrifice. Sacrifice has to be made. What kind of sacrifice can you make? Preacher, I've got a lamb. You don't need a lamb. The lamb's already come, the Lamb of God. You said, preacher, I got money. That's my offering. Well, we need to put our tithes and offerings in. That's right. That's good. But that's not what He's talking about. The sacrifice God's looking for, it's not a sacrifice. Amen. That's God's already. Your tithe is. It's not yours, it's the Lord's. Amen. Gets quiet when you get on that subject. That's all right. Amen. You don't argue with them too much at Walmart when you got your bill full out. Amen. But you come to the house of God, you ought not argue with God. Now, the thing about it is, what kind of sacrifice can I give God? That's what these altars are for. Sacrifice. That's what these altars are for. Preacher, I ain't got nothing to sacrifice. You haven't? Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So when you come to the altar, you lay yourself, Lord, I don't have nothing to offer, but I can give you me. If there's anything you can do with me, help yourself and lay yourself on the altar of God. That's your sacrifice. Get rid of your idols and your sin and sacrifice yourself on the altar. Right? And then there must be a seeking of God with all your heart and soul here as we read into it. And then notice something else He did in verse 13. That whosoever would not seek the Lord of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or beast. Now that's some tough languages right there. If they refused, to even seek God, they got rid of them. Imagine that today. You'd have a good society though, wouldn't you? Amen. You said you advocating that? I didn't say anything about that. I'm telling you, that has changed. I'll say this. We're in a day of grace. We're not in a day of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Amen. The Old Testament's not been destroyed. It's just been fulfilled. Verse 14. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. They begin to rejoice in verse 15. They rejoiced at the oath and they sought God in the verse 15. Sought Him with their whole desire. And He was found to them, and the Lord gave them rest. Now if you go on down, you'll find out in verse 18, and He brought into the house of God the things that His Father had dedicated, and that He Himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. The next thing they begin to do is lay not on themselves out there as a sacrifice before God in the church age of what I'm talking about, but the next thing is that we present our possessions before God. Ooh. Now we got a few things we'll give God. Amen. We'll give Him our lawnmower because we don't like cutting grass. We'll give Him our leaf blower because we don't like blowing leaves. But we ain't going to give Him our automobile because we like it too much. There's a few things we ain't going to let God have control over everything. Boy, it's sure quiet in here. Had a body, we'd have a funeral. Amen. Hear me. God wants everything you've got. You said, but that's mine. You ain't got nothing. Can I remind you this morning, you came in this world with nothing. What did you have when you was born? Nothing but a squeal. And nobody liked it. Except to know that you was here. And you was all right. Amen. Some of you had to smack to get that. Hear me? I'm telling you this morning, you came into this world with nothing. Can I remind you, you're going to leave with nothing. They may put something in your arms. They may put something in your coat pocket, your shirt pocket, your pants pocket. They may put something in your shoes besides your toes. But I'll guarantee you, you're not going to need it. You're not going to get to use it. And send you with your cell phone, which you can't text in the ground. And eternity, you won't need. Amen. Everything belongs to God. Better use it for God, too, by the way. Now, hurriedly, I want to talk about chapter 16. Show you what happens to this man. Here's a man started off right. But can I remind you, you can get started right. If you're not careful, you can end up wrong. Start right, end wrong. Start right, end wrong. In chapter 16, well, I want to read the last verse of chapter 19. Hurriedly, just a few things and we'll go. And there was no more war. You see that verse 19? And there was no more war under the 35th year of the reign of Asa. How long is that? 35 years that had no war. Peace. If our country wants to live in peace, God's given them the recipe and the ingredients in chapter 14, 15, and 16 of 2 Chronicles. If you want to have peace in your life, God's give you the recipe in chapter 14, 15, and 16. Goes for nations, churches, individuals. Chapter 16. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out of or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Somebody cut him off. Baasha, the king, cut him off. And Asa brought the silver and the gold. Now, what did he do with that? He dedicated that. Remember, what did he do with the silver and the gold? He dedicated it and put it in the temple, the house of God. He gave his possessions to God. If you're not careful, I wish I had time to get this. This is a good story. If you're not careful, the older you get, if you're not careful, you'll start putting your possessions that God has given you in the wrong places. Think about it. He dedicated to God. What's dedicated to God better stay with God. But now he's going to take what he's given to God and he's going to use it as a bargaining chip. And he goes down in verse number 2 and he takes the treasures out of the house of God and the silver and gold he put in there and he goes down and is sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There's a league between me and thee as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." He's trying to get his friends to help him, so he's paying them off. He's beginning to sell out. Now let me ask you this. Where was the same Asa that was over there when the Ethiopians come around? What did he do when the Ethiopians came? He prayed, cried unto God. What did God do? Delivered him. Now what's happened? His faith has got weaker. If you're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, the older you get, your faith will get weaker. You'll quit trusting God. In my age right now, and I don't feel like I'm old. My wife's tried to convince me that I am. I'm not real old yet. Amen. I'm just a few years shy of being old. But I found out that the older I get, the less my faith comes sometimes. And I begin to start trusting. The older you get, you start looking more to Social Security and rocking chair money. Amen. Nothing wrong with it. You paid into it. Get it. I'm not here preaching against it. Amen. After you're trying to look at them things. But I'm trying to say, don't put your trust in that.
What's going to help me? If Social Security and Medicare don't,
where in the world have you been all your life? We had a God before we had Social Security. Now, I know I'd hired up to about three of you. But I'm still preaching. The Bible said in verse 4, "And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ajon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali or Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building Ramah and let his work cease." Amen. You hear that? "And then Asa, the king, took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah." So they conquered through a hand. That verse number 7. Notice in chapter 15, verse 1, that the prophet Azariah came to Asa, and he obeyed what Azariah said and got right with God. Now notice verse 7. "And at that time Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand." Now he begins to remind him, "Were not the Ethiopians and the Lumans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand." Now, see, he said, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars." 35 years they'd been in peace. They'd sought God. They'd obeyed the Word of God. They'd cried on the Lord. They'd received the Spirit of God. And they rebuilt the altars and come back to God and sought Him with their whole heart and whole mind, and they had peace. Now He said, "Because you stepped out of line." Did you know one? How many acts did it take? One little time Asa stepped out of line, and God said, "Now you're going to have wars." I'm challenging you today. You better stay with God. Verse 10. Then Asa was wroth. What did he do? First time Azariah told him, he got at the altar and got right. But the second time he done what most Baptists do with the preacher, got mad at him. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in the prison house. Put the preacher in jail because he preached to him. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people to say, took it out on the preacher and took it out on the people. How many times has a preacher preached to you? You got mad at the preacher. You not only got mad at him, you got mad at his family. You got mad at his friends because they stood with him. Whew. Maybe I ought not to meddle too much. Let me just back off. You read between the lines. Go home. "And behold, the acts of Asa first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel." That wasn't good enough. Guess what happened? It went on further. We got 3 more verses. "And Asa, in the 30th and 9th year," 39 years. How many years was it they didn't have war? 35. 35 years they didn't have war. Then at 36 year, verse 1 of chapter 16, they started having wars. And now at 39 years, only the last 3 years of his life. Can you see that? The last 3 years of his life, he messed up. Take heed, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible said, "Asa, in the 39th year of the reign, was diseased in his feet." He got sick. "Until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease," notice this next phrase, "he sought not to the Lord." Chapter 14, he said, "Seek the Lord." Chapter 16, he did not care for the Lord. But he said, "But to the..." Is this not where we all go, ladies and gentlemen? What happens? "And Asa slept with his fathers," that means he died, "and died in the 140th year of his reign." 40 years! 35 of them was with peace, and 4 or 5 of them was terrible. Verse 14, "And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed, which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices prepared for the apothecary's art. And they made a very great burning for him. He started off right, ended up wrong. A Christian can do that. You let the cares of life and the things of life and your faith get weak. Now what should we do? Seek the Lord. Obey the Word. Cry out to God. Amen. Throw down the altars. Get away with the sin. Throw it away. Get rid of it. Dedicate yourself. Consecrate yourself unto God. God will give you peace in the land. Heads bowed, eyes closed. That's a bigger story than I thought it was going to be. I just cut the corners on that. Go back and reread that. Older you get, reread it. Notice in there, God's got a message for us out of the Word of God in the life of Asa. He started off right, but he let things get wrong. He's a king that did that which is right and did that which was good. Done a lot of good deeds. A lot of good things he done. But he forgot in the end. His faith grew weak. Let's stand. What's his number? 307 in the red book. The altar's right here. Do you need it? Come. Right here it is.